This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being. Joy,
Joy, Joy. Good afternoon and welcome to Joy 94.9 and Well, 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 brought to you live every Tuesday from midday by the Victorian AIDS Council. My name is Tex and I'm joined today by our new co-host, Cal, and our current co-host, Jack. Thanks to Shane for the morning show and, of course, to Adam for the news. Jack and Cal, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. I'm still reflecting on the Globe Awards last Friday night, which were quite successful for a lot of our projects at the BAC.
Indeed they were. Now, perhaps you could we'll let Cal say hello.
Well, hello.
Hi, Cal. Welcome.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to be on. I've been listening for ages.
Well, it's lovely to have your dulcet tones here on Well, Well, Well with us. But, Jack, just first off, perhaps you could just do a quick run-through of who got what. Yep. In relation to the Victorian AIDS Council.
Sure. First of all, one category was the healthy community. And it was always stiff competition, and that was won by Victorian AIDS Council's Young and Gay Group.
Mm-hmm.
There was also Protecting Our Community, and that was jointly owned by won by Victorian AIDS Council in partnership with Living Positive Victoria.
Yep.
In regard to the repeal of Section 19A of the Crimes Act, that's to do with HIV transmission. And, of course, Volunteer of the Year, won by Clayton Wimhurst from the Victorian AIDS Council.
Indeed, one of the outreach volunteers, one of the volunteers I manage, so I was really pleased for Clayton to come through with that.
Yep, it was good.
At Whoa, 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 we talk about topics that relate to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex community. We're all about sex, health and well-being. Cal, perhaps you can tell our listeners what we've got in store for them today.
Oh, absolutely. Well, today we'll be covering PEP, or post-exposure prophylaxis, its availability, access, and looking at the VAC and Living Positive Victoria state election agenda. And we have our guest is another Globe Award winner, which is, of course, Dean Beck, and Anna Pierce from the Alfred.
Indeed. So, Jack, how can people get involved in the conversation and perhaps let us know what they like of the show today?
Well, we would love you to contact us on facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy, or you can call 1300-JOY-949, or send us an email onair@joy.org.au, or send us an SMS 0427-JOY-949, or even tweet us at wellwellwelljoy.
Indeed. We're going to start off the show today with a track by Soft Cell. This was the Australian number one in November 1981, I know.
I should remember
you
it.
You should remember it. Cole probably wasn't born, but... or were you, darling?
No.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, but it would be another 2 years before I'm born.
Oh, my God. I was joking.
You know,
oh
if you ever
goodness.
Need to remember my age, Tex, I'm the exact same age as Vac.
You're the exact same age...
As the organisation.
Right, well, that's going to haunt me now for the rest of my life. This is indeed Well, Well, Well with Jack, Cal and Tex here on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy.
Good afternoon. We are back here on Well, 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 here on Joy 94.9. And today we're going to talk all things PEP. That's post-exposure prophylaxis. Joining us on the phone from the Alfred Hospital, actually I think on a day off today, is Anna Pierce. Good evening. Good afternoon, Anna. And welcome to Well, Well, Well. It seems we've lost Anna.
Won't be far away.
She won't be far away. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play another piece of music, which is our next song, Sky by Sonique. And hopefully then we'll be speaking to Anna here on Joy 94.9. But this is Sky by Sonique, and Sonique was the Australian number 18 in December 2000, when we're definitely sure that Carl was born. This is Whoa, Whoa, Whoa.
Little but born.
On Joy 94.9.
You're tuned in to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and you're with Tex, Cal and Jack. And this time, hopefully, joining us on the phone is Anna Pierce from the Alfred. Good afternoon, Anna, and welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Thanks, Tex, and good afternoon.
It's great to have you with us.
It's my pleasure.
Now, Anna, perhaps we can ask you what PEP stands for. Now, we know it stands for post-exposure prophylaxis, but the first time I heard that expression, my eyes glazed over because I didn't quite get it. So, perhaps in layperson's language, how would you describe what PEP or post-exposure prophylaxis stands for?
Okay, so post-exposure prophylaxis and it can apply to post-exposure after an HIV exposure or any other exposure. So PEP is not specific. Post-exposure prophylaxis is not specific to HIV. So it basically means that something is that's taken after an exposure to prevent an infection being established in the person who's been exposed. So in the case of HIV, it means that if you've had an exposure to HIV, it's taking medication for a period of time, in this case 28 days, to try and stop HIV infection being established in the person who's been exposed.
And Anna, this is Cal here, hi. Could you let us know what are some of the barriers that people face when trying to access PEP?
Some of the barriers, I guess, knowing that it's available, I guess, is one thing. So we've seen over the nearly 10 years that our service has been running increasing numbers, and partly that, I think, is due to increased awareness over time and that people in the community are aware of it, but there are certainly some people who don't know. So A, you've got to know about it, and B, you have to know where you can access it. And it's pretty widely available in Melbourne, but obviously not everywhere, and the places that it's available are the Alfred Hospital and the Royal Melbourne Hospital, but generally that in the emergency department in the after-hours setting. But we also have it available at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, Paran Market Clinic, Northside Clinic and Centre Clinic. So all the clinics where there are S100 prescribers who are used to seeing patients who are infected with HIV as well.
Now, Anna, it's Jack here. We understand that some people who are now HIV positive have reported that they didn't use PEP because they feared being judged by clinicians for their sexual behaviour. Have you come across that, or have you heard of that before, or do you have any view on that sort of attitude that's around?
I have heard that before, but I think in the majority, that's the minority of cases. Mm-hmm. And certainly it's not easy if you're presenting to the emergency department and you've got to tell somebody, you know, that you didn't use a condom or whatever happened. But generally, you know, our service is non-discriminatory, we're non-judgmental, and, you know, you can turn up for PEP as many times as you like and we won't say, look, this is, you know, the third time happened, we're not going to give it to you. But I guess it's always the fear, but I think particularly the practitioners who work for the service, that certainly would be their attitude. It may be that you come across the odd person in the emergency department, but I know at the Alfred we have a lot of nurse practitioners, and they're very experienced, and I certainly would think that they're not judgmental.
And I guess it would be trying to encourage everybody who felt they were at risk, because whilst some out and proud gay people may not have a problem, some of the MSM community, men of sex with men, may be a bit more reticent seeking access. So, yeah.
Yes, yeah, because you've got to disclose your status to be able to access it, because otherwise you wouldn't be considered to be at risk.
Sure.
So, Anna, PEP has been available for a while now, and there seems to be some confusion about how and where to access it. But on the other side, from your experience, do you think medical practitioners are all aware or promoting PEP as well?
It's certainly not promoted in the general community, because the general community generally doesn't require it.
Sure.
But I think in practitioners who are experienced in treating patients with HIV or, you know, gay men, sexual health, whatever, are very knowledgeable about PEP and certainly would be telling their patients about it. Are you aware of people having difficulty accessing it or not knowing about it?
Well, I guess what we've heard is, especially for people that are maybe not in the city. So in the city, of course, you know, that exposure to the GLBTI community and that awareness is obviously there. But like in rural and regional settings, you know, what can we do there? Because would medical practitioners in that area be as capable to talk about PEP?
So that is sort of a part of a difficult area. And certainly when we set up the service nearly 10 years ago, it was set up to be a statewide service. So to have everybody in Victoria able to access PEP in a timely way. But we did recognise some difficulty with that, and that we tried to set it up where there are S100 prescribers, so people who have done the course are able to prescribe antiretrovirals and treat patients with HIV. And there are limited numbers of those, and so it can be very challenging. And certainly it's something you need to have training in the area. You need to understand it. Things, you know, evidence changes, things that we do change a little bit over time. So it is more difficult to have it in the rural and regional areas. Mm. And also to have it in the emergency departments. Also, you can train people up and you can have the skills in the area, but it's accessed so infrequently that by the time somebody needs to access it, then those people who knew about it have moved on and not there anymore. So that's part of the challenge. But certainly if we identify an area of need, so if there was a community that had, you know, some exposures, we certainly can approach that doctors in the area, see if anybody is willing to be the designated practice or the practitioner who we then can give some information to, educate, and then that can be a place where they can access PEP.
Anna, in your experience, how do you think the gay or the men who have sex with men community perceive PEP? Do you think there's a stigma attached to people who have accessed it once or twice or perhaps even more?
I'm not sure I'm really in a position to answer that, but certainly the patients I've seen, I've not been aware of that, but I'm not out in the community, so I'm not sure I can answer it fully.
Okie doke. Anna, we need to play some sponsorship announcements. You're happy to wait there on the phone for us?
Yeah, sure.
That'll be fantastic. This is Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
This is a Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and you're with Cal, Jack and Tex as we speak to Anna Pierce from the Alfred Hospital.
Now, Anna, you mentioned before the sites, the nine sites that PEP is limited to, really. That's Carlton, St Kilda, Clayton, North Fitzroy, Prahran and Armidale. Richmond as well, and after hours at public hospitals, being the Alfred and the Royal Melbourne. And for rural and regional people, there is limited access. So there is a PEP hotline, isn't there? 1-800-889-887. And the Victorian AIDS Council and Living Positive Victoria Action Plan, which we put together for the state election, calls for no one to be outside a 50-kilometre radius to a PEP service anywhere in the state. Now, Anna, do you know why is it the scarcity of access in the state, please?
So it's like I said before, that the number of prescribers out in those areas who are able to prescribe antiretrovirals is limited. So so that's one part of it, and also that there's not a great need for it. So in the 10 years, the number of times that PEP has been requested from those rural areas is very small, certainly more from Geelong and Bendigo. But we've had, you know, one from Mildura. But overall, you know, there's a couple a year from rural areas, and to have it set up in all those places would be very expensive to have all the drugs there, separate supply of PEP drugs for all those hospitals that would go out of date before they were ever used, and then skilling the staff so that by the time somebody presented for PEP, there wouldn't be anybody. The people who had been trained would have moved on, and to keep the skill level up in those staff for it to be used once every 3 years is not really cost-effective use of money. But certainly if there was, you know, we have had somebody in Hamilton who rang the PEP hotline and we organised for them to go to Ballarat to use the pharmacy supply of occupational drugs so that they actually only had to drive, you know, an hour and a half or something to get there. And that was done through, you know, phone consultation. And so if somebody rings the phone hotline during the day and clinical nurse coordinator can organise them to get to somewhere where there are some drugs available, because all hospitals need to have their own supply of occupational post-exposure prophylaxis, so that we can generally try and facilitate somebody to be able to get PEP without necessarily having to drive to Melbourne. We had someone from Mildura who ended up going to Bendigo to collect the supply.
Okay. Anna, if I rang the PEP hotline, would you just do a quick assessment, or the people on the other end do an assessment of my risk and behaviours? You would just automatically assume that somebody would need PEP?
No. So, yes, we certainly do a risk assessment. So we ask, what the exposure is, and then from that determine whether or not that was risky and, high enough mm-hmm. risk to determine whether or not you do need to access PEP or not. So certainly some people ring the phone line, they haven't had a high-risk exposure, and generally they're reassured and told that they don't need to present for PEP.
And there's the time limit as well, which is important.
Yeah, of course. So PEP has to be accessed. Anna, could you walk us through that?
Sure. So the earlier it's accessed, the better. So as soon as possible after the exposure. But we say up to 72 hours. That doesn't mean that at 72 hours it's not going to work, and before 72 hours it will work. It just means that mm-hmm. in animal studies it showed that there was far less benefit after 72 hours. But some guidelines throughout the world even say only 48 hours or 36 hours, that's their cutoff. So certainly the earlier you access it, the better.
Okay, and I guess having that system in place where people are able to access it, so if they're in regional areas, whether or not we can direct them to another site in regional or rural Victoria is obviously key because of that time sensitivity.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. And the other thing to that is sometimes, even if they're a fair way away, it may be faster for them to come, or more effective for them to come to the Alfred and know they'll get it straight away than to try and organise something in the middle of the night somewhere else where nobody knows where the drugs are kept, or make it more difficult so that for a more streamlined process for the patient and to get a better consultation and better care, to actually have to, it might be a couple of hours drive, but in some cases that might be better for the patient than to try and access it closer to home.
Anna, one of the actions from the Victorian AIDS Council and Living Positive Victoria State Government Election Plan is one of the actions reads, commit to working with Therapeutic Goods Administration to make PEP available for purchase through pharmacies. What do you think about that idea?
Well, I don't actually see the advantage of that for PEP particularly.
Mm.
The way people access PEP now is that they say you go to Prayer Market Clinic, you see the doctor, you have your consultation, yes, you need PEP, and they hand you the packet on the spot. So that if you actually had to go to the pharmacy, that would be, you'd have to go to the pharmacy and then purchase it, where it's provided free of charge. If you go to your GP, they hand out the PEP, so you get your first 7 days, and then you go back for your week one consultation and you get the remaining 21 days. So I'm not sure there's any advantage to having it available in any pharmacy.
One of the other actions is suggesting that the government, whoever the incoming government are, can fund a public awareness campaign to encourage gay men and men who have sex with men who don't necessarily identify as gay, in addition to other high-risk populations, to have the PEP hotline phone number in their mobile phone contacts. And, of course, that number is 1-800-889-887. Sound like a sensible idea for you?
It's always good for people to be aware of a number to call if they've had a risk.
Mm-hmm.
I think the awareness is certainly increasing, and that a lot more people are aware of PEP now than previously.
And how many people would say, on average, a week call the PEP hotline that you're aware of?
Oh, gosh. I don't have that number.
No, that's okay.
But the average day there might be a couple of calls, calls overnight.
Yeah.
The phone line is staffed 24 hours a day, Friday to Monday, and then Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday nights, it's just till midnight.
Okay.
The volume of calls midweek is far less than over the weekend period.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that's in the election platform, we've gained a lot of insight from VAC and from either clients of VAC, or in the instance of the HIV seroconversion study, which is an ongoing study, we've gained a lot of insights and interesting quotes from people that have tried to access PEP in the past, because there are those sort of unhelpful barriers. So one person actually said, on my previous two occasions, I was grilled to a point that I felt like I was begging. I would rather have just bought them PEP, he's referring to over-the-counter, even if it costs $400. I guess, Anna, what can we do to address those barriers when people feel like they're being judged by, you know, healthcare staff?
Yeah, well, I guess, obviously, I don't know that particular situation, but it's important for the staff member assessing the person to actually get a lot of information, and perhaps the person can feel like they're being grilled, but without finding out all those details, it's not possible then to determine whether the person actually needs PEP or not sometimes. So I think partly you have to accept the fact that you need to talk about some things that might be a little bit awkward in order for the practitioner to make an accurate assessment about whether PEP's required. Mm. And it's all very well to say, look, I'll just go and buy the PEP, but some important things that in the initial consultation that have to be done, particularly a baseline HIV test, because we know that some people who do present for PEP are actually already HIV positive. 1% of people who come to the MPEP service requesting PEP are actually already HIV positive. And so we don't want to be giving those people PEP when they really need to be in care for HIV.
Sure. So linked into appropriate services, yeah.
And also if you're giving them, you know, PEP, which might not be optimal therapy for treating HIV, then that's not ideal either. So I think people have to understand that, yes, look, we ask them to do these things and it might be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes, but I would hope that practitioners are non-judgmental, and certainly the people I work with I know are non-judgmental, but patients may find it a little awkward if they're being asked all these you know, questions about their sexual behaviour and what actually happened, but it's important to, you know, to form part of the risk assessment accurately.
The Victorian AIDS Council and Living Positive Victoria, as you're aware, have come up with a document of recommendations for the incoming government to consider. We have a link on that on our Well Facebook page, and also we have it on the Victorian AIDS Council website, vac.org.au, or you can get a hard copy if you go to any of the AIDS Council sites across town. For details on PEP, there's an excellent website, which is getpep.info, which is divided into two parts, of whether you need PEP right now, gives you the details of how to access PEP, and then the other part of the website are the 20 most frequently asked questions about PEP. All people have the alternative of ringing the phone number 1-800-889-887. Anna, it's been fantastic to have you on the radio today and explaining some of the background stuff about PEP that we don't always get to hear. So I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Tex. My pleasure.
Thanks, Anna.
This is Well here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening. This is Well.
Indeed, this is a Well here on Joy 94.9. And before we have our next guests in the studio, Carl, we had a message in.
The last discussion there with Anna actually brought out Brad from Traralgon said he called the PEP line from Traralgon, was told to come to the Alfred, and guess it's cheaper to let people get HIV, which of course is, you know, pretty harsh. It's strong language there, but, you know, obviously people do feel passionate about this. And if that is the case, we've got a state election coming up.
Sure.
How you can get involved, again, vac.org.au, look at that election platform, see if those are some actions you might agree with, and let those inform your decision come the 29th of November.
It's an important issue, so do think about it, everybody.
And when you do go to the Victorian AIDS Council website, vac.org.au, there's a yellow box, and if you click on the yellow box, that takes you to the recommendations and actions that we're requesting of the incoming government, whoever they be, whatever political colour, and you can have a look there and see what we are basing all of the shows this month and in the lead up to the 29th of is it
November?
November. Thank God. It's another month to go. Lucky us. Now, joining us in the studio at the moment, along with our co-host Cal today, is Disco from the Melbourne Surge Water Polo Club. Welcome, Disco, because we've already welcomed Cal.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you with us. Now, you're here to talk about the Surge, the Melbourne Surge Water Polo Club. And yesterday, I was very fortunate to be the very first person ever to get the Melbourne Surge Water Polo Club stamp on my hand. And I can tell you, it's a bit of a stayer, that stamp. Carl, perhaps we can start with you. How long has Melbourne Surge been around, do you know?
Well, actually, that's definitely one for Disco, because he's been around just for years, decades.
You know? It doesn't show.
Disco, perhaps we can start with you. How long has Surge been around for the Melbourne Surge Water Polo Team Club?
Well, the club actually joined back in 2000 for the Sydney Gay Games. Mm-hmm. And we've been Melbourne Surge for the last eight years, I believe.
Have you been part of it all that time, since 2000?
No, I've been there for 10 years now.
Well, that's longer than
Cal. It's longer than me with a year and change.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And the VAC is a Surge community sponsor. Cal, can you tell me how this came about?
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, as you know, Jack, that the VAC has a long-standing relationship with a lot of different community partners.
Yes, yes.
And, for instance, the Melbourne Chargers.
Yep.
Expanding on that portfolio, an opportunity came up for the Surge to get involved with VAC in the lead-up to AIDS 2014, specifically with a mobilization march on the second day of the conference, and Disco and myself were both there for that, which we needed a lot of hands on deck, and so Surge provided nearly 30 guys on the day.
That's right, 30 water polo blokes walking with us. That was great.
Yes,
marshalling,
yes.
Walking.
Unfortunately, not in the water polo, or maybe fortunately in some cases.
Well, it was cold.
Yeah, so we were in, you know, our VAC volunteer t-shirts.
That's right.
Rather than the usual water polo gear. But yeah, helped move along, you know, several thousand people for that march back in July. And we'll probably be continuing a bit of that involvement going forward as well with volunteer opportunities. World AIDS Day just around the corner as well. So yeah, we'll be getting there.
So you'll be helping with World AIDS Day. And anything else on the agenda? When will we see Surge Boys and
in the outfits? Let's get to it. When are we going to see the Surge Boys in their outfits?
Well, Disco is the top captain there. He can explain how often we play and train, and you know where you can come to stalk us, I suppose.
And where do you train and play?
We train every Sundays at South Yarra Sports Centre on Chapel Street between the hours of 3 and 4:30 p.m.
And if somebody wanted to come along and inquire about playing or supporting, would they just turn up there?
Yeah, absolutely. You're more than welcome to come along and give it a go and see how you go. And yeah, it's obligation free for the first time if you want to just sort of pop down, just check out what we do and how we do it and meet the guys and see how you feel.
And when does the competition actually start? When do you play competitively?
Well,
next?
We've got 5 games to go, I believe,
in the season. So we're just
past the mid-season
part right now.
Okay. So if you're playing competition, when does that happen? The actual competition.
We play that on Thursday nights.
And is that at South?
Well, it depends. Sometimes we have games at South Yarra, and sometimes we have games at MSAC.
Yep.
And MSAC this week, being.
Go ahead.
I don't know what MSAC is.
The Melbourne Sports and Aquatic Centre at Albert Park.
Okay.
And so, yeah, actually, Thursday, I think we both have games. So I'm captaining the second team, but as we call it, Surge Black, and Disco is captaining Surge Gold.
Black and gold. So do you have black and gold costumes, or how does that work
there's,
out?
There's
disco? Well,
black,
come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
sounds
disco.
Very disco, actually, doesn't it? Black and gold. Sparkly.
No, it's... well, actually, we've got a new uniform that we've just about to release.
Okay. Are you prepared to tell us anything about that new outfit?
Well, in fact, there is an event. And funny that you bring that up, that we'll actually be premiering the uniform on Friday at the Greyhound Hotel, or the GH Hotel.
Okay.
I think doors open about 9 o'clock, and we'll be doing a black and gold party. See, so you've tied that right in very beautifully.
Perfect. Black and gold party at the Greyhound in support of Surge.
Yeah, so that's going to be a bit of a fundraiser for us. We're going to be, you know, with any sort of community group, there are fees that come along, and, you know, we can't exactly just go out to the cricket pitch and practice there. We actually have to hire a pool every week, so that gets costly, and so we're doing
very costly.
Yes, very much so. So, yeah, doing a bit of fundraising for that. So if people want to get in on that guest list, that's a possible thing to do via the Surge Facebook page, or the event page, rather. And, yeah, we'll be raffling off some things on the night with some of the boys showing off the prizes. We've got various prize packages coming from different community groups and organizations around the area. And and the GH has been lovely in letting us host that there and providing the space for the night, because we're sort of piggybacking on the Boylesque show that's usually on Fridays.
Boylesque, okay. Yeah. Now, I hate to show my ignorance, but how many people in the team?
Well, we have about 34 members at the moment.
Yeah.
Quite large.
Yeah, it is quite large. We have two teams running in the competition. There's
The black and gold.
Black and gold. And, not everybody competes. A lot of people just sort of come along to the training sessions but are members. Yeah. But, not a full-fledged player. It's totally up to you if you want to play or not. So
there's good physical exercise, there's workouts, there's camaraderie, and it's good health and well-being, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And like Disco said, I guess when I came on board it's been about 18 months, that was one of the things that I found really, because I actually thought with any new sport, I've never played water polo before. It shows sometimes on Thursdays.
That's what Disco told me before the show, yeah.
Well, there you have it. Well, look, I'm a captain because I bring the folks together, not because I'm the strongest player in the pool by any stretch of the imagination. But what I found really lovely about it was that when I came to the club the first time, I was worried that you show up, you're expected to be amazing from the get-go and ready to compete. And in fact, like he pointed out, you can be a social player. So you basically only, you can come and help and support on Thursdays. And then you can actually get in the pool and train, but you don't necessarily have to play come competition time.
Oh, I might come along.
Now, either Disco or Cal, the website address, you must have a website. Everyone has a website.
It is currently under development. We did have one and we're revamping it. But the best thing is facebook.com/Melbourne Surge by far for all the up-to-date info.
So that's Melbourne, S-U-R-G-E, Surge.
Yep.
Not splurge as I mispronounced it yesterday. Disco, it's been great to have you come into the studio.
Thank you for having
me. We look forward to hearing from you again. And Cal, it's great to have you continuing in the studio. We're going to hear another piece of music right now. This one's by Sophie Monk, which you assured me you knew who that was.
Yeah.
Cal, Jack, you had no idea.
Well, I thought the name rang a bell, but I may be the wrong era.
Right. Well, this was the Australian number one in November 2002. It's the gorgeous Sophie Monk. And let's face it, she's inside out.
You're tuned in to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Oh, indeed you are. This is Joy 94.9 and it is Well, Well, Well. And we're in the closing minutes of the show as we, I always say, where does the hour go? We have gorgeous music. We have great sponsorship announcements and it's always great to support the sponsors of Joy, the people that help keep us on the air, along with our members. If you're not a member, become a member. Go to joy.org.au. But before we finish today, we'd like to mention our upcoming event called Short and Girly with a little bit of burly. It's happening this Saturday evening, 7:30 p.m. This Saturday, the 25th of October, at the National Theatre in St Kilda. It's an all-star comedy gala featuring comedy legends like the gorgeous Rachel Berger, a life member of the Victorian AIDS Council, Kel Wilson, Australia's own New Zealander, Kel Wilson, Hannah Gatsby, Claire Hooper, Fiona O'Loughlin, she's gorgeous, Tom Gleeson, Joel Creasy, Kevin, I can't pronounce that surname.
Cropaneri.
Thank you, darling. Tom Bollard, Adam Richard, and maybe even a couple of surprise guests. It's going to be a sensational night. I've already got my tickets.
I'm getting mine. I've been to the last couple of shows, and I was away, and I couldn't remember when it was on. So it's well worth it. I love it. Have you been, Cal?
I haven't been yet.
You're going?
I'm going to try to make it because I'm going to be working the Surge event the night before. But it actually just got written up because of the guys. He was in
there.
Sydney Morning Herald because now it's a little bit of burly and you've got Adam Richard and all them. So, if I want to get a ticket, how am I going to do that?
You can get a ticket from Ticketmaster. They're $60 each or $54 each plus a booking fee.
The 54 is concession.
That's correct.
There you go. Well, that sounds like it'd be a lovely night, so I'm going to try to make sure I do that after the Surge event, of course, on the Friday night. Which I'll just quickly plug. So the Surge fundraiser event is the Black and Gold Party. Come dressed in black and gold. The Greyhound Hotel, 9 p.m. our doors. I believe we'll be doing shows from about 11, raffles 12:30.
What I want to know is, are you in the show, Cal? Are you going to be showing off the new swimwear?
Look, I am. I am a leader in the group, so if I'm going to ask,
then you better do it, Tom.
I suppose. Yeah, I
strip
might
down
have.
To that gorgeous. Show off those gorgeous pins. Hopefully, might even get you up on the stage, do a bit of a number doll.
Well, we'll
Tis
see.
Boy-less.
You know, yeah. Well, you know, maybe a little last minute cabaret number.
And you're in gold, are you, Cal? Gold or black? You're
I'm
gold.
The black team.
You're the black team,
which so. I think is sensible. Mm. Yeah.
Why is that sensible?
Well, a sensible black number. You know, gold is very extravagant, and you know,
Jack, black is very slimming. now, what's the
tell me about
what
it?
What is the Surge website again?
Again, facebook.com/MelbourneSurge.
Right.
But if you go to the event and you like or say that you're going to the event, you can actually get in for $5 cheaper, and a bit of that cover fee goes to the Melbourne Surge.
Oh, sensational!
So you're helping the community while dancing the night away.
And of course, we were speaking to Anna Pierce from the Alfred today, so it was great to speak to her. And we were talking about PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis. And if you want to find out more about PEP, there's a website, quite simply, getpep.info, or that infamous telephone number I'll take to my grave, 1-800-889-887, because I've said it so often. We did have a message from, who was it that sent in a message? Was it Brad?
Well, we did have that message earlier about, with regard to PEP earlier on that we kind of read out.
It was from Brad, yes. So yeah. Saying thanks.
We've had another message.
I did have one more here that just said, Well, it just says, you have such a calm and clear radio voice, Cal. I liked listening to it. So handsome. Which
is that the boyfriend?
Well, I don't know. Who's to say?
There's
who
no
that
name
is,
attached
but it could
to
be.
It.
Who knows? It might be.
Thanks, Lloyd. Lovely to hear from you, darling. thank you for joining us today. This is Tex, Cal and Jack, part of the Well, Well, Well team from the Victorian AIDS Council. And we'll be back again next week where we'll be highlighting another feature from the Victorian AIDS Council Living Positive Victoria election platform, agenda, wish list for the incoming government here, the incoming state government, whichever colour they may be. We hope to see you again next week. And coming up now is the gorgeous Adam with the, some afternoon music. Cheers, everyone, and bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.